You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Okay, I've got a little bit of a challenge here, so I need, you guys just hold on right there for a second. I'll bring you in a second. Can I have Myra G, Jesse H, Lena S, Olivia M, and Silas S? Can you guys come up here, please, for me? Myra, come on up here. Yeah, Myra. Yeah, okay, Olivia. Yeah, okay, yeah, well, I'm missing one more. Where I need... Silas. Pardon me? Okay. How you guys doing? How are you doing? Just all right. This, how you doing? Okay, so these are good, and you're like, hey. Okay. All right, cool. Give it up for Silas. Awesome. Okay, here we go. I've got some people that you guys know, okay? And you don't say anything yet, but we're going to have a little bit of a contest here, okay? And there are some people that you know that are going to come in here, and they're actually going to stand up here, and we're going to have you there so they can be in the light. And then you are going to, I'll give you a piece of paper and a pen. As a matter of fact, I'll do that right now, okay? Do you know how to use one of these? Okay, how about this? Do you know how to use that? Oops, I don't, apparently. There, I'll throw it at you. Okay, there you go. Here's your piece of paper and your pen, okay? You need to take the cap off. I don't even know if these pens work. So there you go. And there's your pen and there's your paper and your pen. Awesome. Okay, so what you're going to do, I've got some people that you know, and they're going to come in, and again, please don't say anything. Don't give anything away. And I'm going to bring them up here, and then you're going to have to do something, and you're going to write down your answer on that paper. So don't say your answer out loud. You're going to write it on that paper. Do you understand that part? Okay, why don't you guys come and stand right here. Stand on this side and face this way. Could I have my special guests come forward, please? And please give them clearance because their view is not terribly great. So, oh! All right, why don't you guys come all the way up here, person, number, letter, that way. Yeah, just... spread across. So here, don't step on that. There's something there. Don't step on it. Okay, good. That's good. Stop right there. I think you're good. Are they all in the light? Do you have all of them? Are they all in the light? Yes? Oh, we got a photo op here for our Instagram page. Instagram.com/MC3Church. And you can find some fun stuff that we do at MC3. You got the pick? All right, we got the pick. Okay, so you are letter A, random person. You are random person B. Please hold that up. You are random person C. You are random person D. And you are random person E. So you guys, you can face them. Now, you know at least one of these people, except for that random person B who is being really obnoxious and is going to be removed from this church. did you hear the cheer from the crowd? All right. Anyway, so you know one of these people, because one of these people up there, and only one, there aren't more than one, trust me, one of these people is your mom or your dad. Okay? One of them is your mom or your dad. Now, I know that sounds a little tricky, but I want you to take a long moment. Hey, a letter A, can we fix our letter? It's kind of looking... Thank you. All right. So one of these people is your mom or dad. So I want you to look carefully at all five people, A, B, C, D, and E. And then when you think you know who your mom or dad is, write that letter on your paper. Does that make sense? Do you get it? So go ahead, take some time to look. And when you think you know your answer, you can go over here and lean on the chairs if you want to write your answer down. So when you think you know who your mom or dad is, go ahead and write an answer. So whenever you think you know, so feel free to write. So turn around and come over here and write your, there we go, okay, good. When you think you know the letter, just write one letter, whoever you think your mom or dad is, You write that letter. Whoever you think your mom or dad is, you write that letter. No other letters. No cheating, because it's not your mom or dad. All right. All right. So once you're ready, don't show anybody your answer yet. Okay? You can think about it some more. Okay, let's start. Do you have an answer? Silas, you have an answer? Okay, so do you think... Now, by the way, random guests, please do not remove your hats until we're done with all the answers, and then we can see who was correct and who was not. So, you have a letter M. Oh, it's an E. Okay, turn it sideways. You're right. I'm wrong. Okay, so letter E. You believe that letter E is related to you, and you think that is who? You think letter E is your mom. Okay, we will see. Okay, all right, all right. Now, you think letter A. You think now, who do you think that is?
My dad.
Your dad. You think letter A is your dad. Are you sure? Okay. All right, we'll see. All right, now, what do you have here? You think letter B. Who's letter B? Your dad. I don't know, that person has a rather feminine physique, I would say. Letter B does. I don't know if that's... Okay, but if you think it's your dad, that's fine, too. It doesn't matter because random person B is going to be removed from the church when we're done anyway. So what do you think here? C. Oh, you think letter C, and you think that... Who's that? Your mom. Okay. All right. All right. Now, do you think you know which one is yours? Carefully, what do you think? You think so? No? Yeah? Alright. I think D sounds like a good answer. Do you think D is a good answer?
Yeah,
okay, good. That's what I thought. Okay, so, you all have all picked, and I don't think anybody duplicated, which is really good. And nobody has more than one answer, which is really, really good. So, all right, well, why don't we go ahead and you think that letter E is the answer. So with letter E, would you please remove your mask? And were you right? Yes, all right, give it up for Silas. Okay, all right, now you can just stay right there. Lena, what do you have? Wait, you have two cards there. Do you have two answers? Oh, you wrote twice. Okay, so you think A is your dad. Letter A, would you please remove your mask? Is that your dad? Are you sure? Okay, all right, I get the response. Okay, so you think that letter B is your dad. Questionable. Okay, so what do you think? Letter B, would you please remove your mask? And it was. All right, good. All right, and you think letter C is your mom? Letter C, would you please remove your mask? Were you right? Yes, okay, and you thought letter D was your dad. All right, with letter D, would you remove your mask? Were you right?
Yeah.
All right, give it up for these kids. And letter B, could you leave your mask up there? And thank you to my wonderful volunteers who have been sweating because they're actually wearing dark clothing over their regular clothes and a bag on their head just for you. So thanks to them. Give it up for them. You guys can all have a seat. And can I have my pens back? Can I have my pen? Can I have my pen? Can I have my pen? My pen. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can I have my pen there? Pen, you can keep the bag. And I'll give you that bag later, letter B. You can keep your paper. Just no? Okay, I'll just... Okay, there you go. All right. Thank you, guys. So we're in this series called Heroes Return, and it's called Heroes Return because this is the second Heroes series that we have done. We did one about 3 years ago called Heroes, and where we look at different biblical characters, different heroes of the Bible in the Old and New Testament. And you can go to mc3church.org and actually listen to any of those. And the elders were a part of teaching that as well. That time, and of course, they've taught a little bit for me while I was on vacation last month in the Heroes Return. So as you saw in the little intro video there, we're actually looking at some villains now, some of these bad people. And so I want to talk to you about this. Before I get into today's villain, this nasty, sweaty, smelly mask belonging to person B. No. by the way, the analogy breaks down now, so anything I talk about is not actually referring to Kirk, so don't be like, oh, wow, he did that. I want to talk about the mask itself. If you guys did not know this, and I've mentioned this before, but in early Greek times, the theater was developed in the Greek culture. And in the theater, you had many of the Colosseum styles you see really rising up during the Roman Empire and things like that. It started with the Greeks. And the way they would do their characters, and you may have seen the comedy and tragedy masks that sort of represent theater or drama, that actually came from the Greek theater. And in the Greek theater, the word for the different people that played in the Greek theater, that acted as parts, the Greek word for that, for someone that would wear this mask and be a character, the Greek word was Hippocrates. That was the actor, the person playing the part. They were the Hippocrates. And so you would have multiple Hippocrates up on the stage acting out their part and pretending to be someone that they weren't. And of course, these kids did a great job determining who the Hippocrates were up front, which of them were their parents, because they were wearing a mask and they were playing a part. But that is where the word, of course, you've probably heard that already, but the word hypocrite comes from this Hippocrates word, this word of someone that pretends to be something that they're not. And of course, as followers of Jesus, we have to stop being Hippocrates. We have to stop playing a part, wearing a mask, and pretending to be someone that we're not. Because guess what? None of you are perfect. None of you are good. None of you do everything right all the time. Because we all got our issues. We all have our problems. And Jesus came. We sang about this, a bunch of things we sung about this morning, about Jesus coming to fix that, to heal us from that. And so we can't afford to be fake and pretend to be something we're not. And a lot of times this ends up happening in church. You know, on Sunday morning, people look and act a certain way when they come to worship, but then throughout the week, they're totally different. And, you know, and we all dress up and look nice and comb our hair and brush our teeth and all that stuff because we're going to be with everyone at church. We want to look good. And sometimes we do things like, you know, we don't carry our Bibles much. You have the YouVersion app. But, you know, we try to look extra spiritual. And we do things to look more impressive. And that is all good if it is coming from the heart. But if you are doing it because you're simply playing a part, then it's a problem, and it's a dangerous place to be. And so this morning, I want to look at this villain. There are actually two villains, Ananias and Sapphira. And their issue was that they were ruined by a life of hypocrisy. Now, I want to tell you a little bit, if you weren't here last week, each of these villains that we're going to be looking at in August are like the antithesis, the antonym, the opposite of some of the heroes we looked at in July. So last week we looked at Eli, and he was sort of the opposite of Samuel, who we looked at the beginning of July. And today we're looking at Ananias and Sapphira, who is sort of an opposite of Aquila and Priscilla that Brian Van Sciak taught about and did an amazing job. Just these guys were kind of spattered throughout the New Testament and pulled out some of the truth of the way they lived. And they were known, and actually the point that week, let me get it right here, was that they were fulfilled by a life of the extraordinary ordinary. They were known for just doing normal things, and it became real. It became like their life wasn't all that fantastical or amazing, but they were known for doing some very normal things that were very impressive. Meanwhile, you've got Ananias and Sapphira, who are pretty much the opposite. Not only are they a male and female, and that kind of works well, but they also were not real. They were fake. And we will find out more about this. But I need to give you a little bit of a background. In Acts, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 5. And if you have a paper Bible, the lights are going to go on. You can look at that. If you have the YouVersion app, go to tap on Acts, tap on 5 is where we're going to be this morning. And the YouVersion is a free app. Just if you don't have it, get it. It's for all devices. It's just incredible. We're not making any money from that. It has nothing to do with us, but it's just great. But anyway, we're going to be in Acts 5. But before we read from Acts 5, I want to give you a little bit of background at the end of Acts 4. And actually, what I'm talking about here, we're going to come back to next month in our series called More, which is going to be pretty much awesome. And we're going to talk about some things. We're actually going to focus on this Acts 4 passage. But to give you a heads up, basically, this is the beginning of the church. This is the kind of how the early church started. Jesus has died, risen again, and then Pentecost, this big feast, the Holy Spirit comes and says, look, you know, he indwells people and says, you are now my church. You are going to be the representatives of Jesus to the world. And so that's what the church is, and there's some descriptions of it. And at Acts, the end of Acts chapter 4, we see that the early church, they were so interested in helping each other that it said that no one was interested in even having their own possessions. And if there was a need, they would sell that possession and then take the money and give it to the apostles. And the apostles, we'll talk about in a little bit, but the apostles were basically anybody that physically saw Jesus. And so that's what an apostle was. And so they were, the disciples turned into apostles when the name kind of changed. And then you had Paul, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was called an apostle. But anyway, they were the leaders of the church. The church elders at the time. And so they would sell something and then give that money to the church leaders, to the apostles, and say, look, please use this to meet that need. And that's what they did. And it says, actually, and I'll read word for word here for you from verse 36 in chapter 4. It said, for instance, sorry, it's not on the screen, my bad. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So you've got Barnabas, who was one of these followers, one of the part of the church. He sold a field he owned and brought it to the apostles. Now, we pick up in chapter 5, the very next verse, with Ananias and Sapphira. So now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. So the also is referring back to Barnabas, who just did the same kind of thing. They also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Yow. And I just actually made this revelation, and the revelation is kind of a fancy word, but I noticed this as I was studying this week, that every one of the villains, they're not good stories. They all die at the end of their stories. So maybe that's something, you know, that's a reason why there's such a villain in the Bible. But I hadn't really planned it that way, but every one of them died. So last week, Eli died when he heard his sons. He fell off his rocker and died when he heard that his sons had died in the battle. And this week, so Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter, by the way, one of the apostles, said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door and they will carry you out also. Who does mean, Peter? At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Wow. Then the young men came in and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. So I guess that's like a thing with the early church. Like, oh, there's another dead guy. I don't know. I mean, but these men, young men from the church. So, you know, young men, MC3 student, I guess that's your job. So if somebody does, in fact, happen to pass away, and it's happened before in a church service, you know, I guess you have to take them out. But anyway, maybe that was just the early church. So it says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And so you've got this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they did the exact same thing that Barnabas did, but they did it because they wanted to look good. They wanted to look spiritual. They wanted to look godly. And that was a problem. Because they put on a mask and pretended to be something they weren't. And the funny thing, and we'll see here in just a moment, that they didn't have to do this. That's the crazy thing about this story. That is what's so incredible about Ananias and Sapphira, that everything that happened to them was purely because they wanted to be something that they weren't. They wanted to appear more spiritual than they were, and they didn't have to do this. It didn't have to be this way. So I just want to give you a quick overview of what happens when you're fake. When you're fake, it leads to a fall. It leads to a problem. For Ananias and Sapphira, it led to instant death. Now, I have been fake. I have faked it in my life. A lot. We want to look good. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be extra godly because I'm taller and a head and shoulders above everyone else. No, I'm not. I'm just a human like you. And I fake it sometimes. I've done that and I'm still alive. So it doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to happen to you. But God was making a statement here because this is the beginning. This is the start of the church. And he was like, look, no fakers allowed. We don't have room. This thing is too important, too big of a deal. My message matters too much. The lives that I can change through my son Jesus are such a big deal that you can't afford to be fake. You can't afford to wear a mask. So he makes a big deal here. And so the first thing we see with Ananias and Sapphira is about their pride, because the pride was the issue. It was them wanting to appear like something. They wanted to be known. They wanted to be impressive. And pride, of course, is the root of every sin. We think we know better than God. We do it our own way. We think we know better than them, so we act superior or whatever. But pride is the issue, and so pride was the problem, and it led to the first thing was that pride spoils admirable things. Now, what's something that's admirable? Something that's admirable is a good thing. It's admirable. It doesn't have anything to do with a ship or a captain or a boat or an admiral, but it means, you know, this is something worth admiring. This is a good thing. This is a neat thing. But when we get our pride stuck into the middle of good things, it can spoil it. It can ruin it. It can make it bad. How many of you have ever eaten something that was spoiled? Ever pulled it out of the fridge? You're like, ah, and then you're like, hmm. And I had this wonderful opportunity. I remember I was in high school, and we had Captain Crunch. I think it was Crunch Berries. Back then, like, their berries were red. Like, that was it. It was boring. So it was red berries, not like all the multicolors now. But I remember getting my milk out of the fridge, pouring it in, you know, not even paying attention, I'm getting breakfast, you know, and eating it and going, tastes extra, like, sweet today. Something's different. And I just, you know, ate the bowl. And then you know how you do. You get to the end, there's milk left over, and so you pick it up to drink it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And got the milk out of the fridge, opened the lid, and it was one of those, like, wow. And then, like, this is spoiled. Found out my brothers had left it on the counter the 2 days earlier, but then put it in the fridge. So it's been sitting on the counter for, like, 8 hours, but then put it in the fridge that night. So it's all good once it's cold again, right? So then I took this milk, because I'm like, this is spoiled. It was something good. It has gone bad. And I poured it down the sink. And it didn't go gurgle, 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 gurgle. It went go-blunk, go-blunk, go-blunk. Like, it was cottage cheese. And it was gross. It was awful. And I don't think I got sick, which is kind of cool. But that's the idea. Like, something, our pride can get in the way and can take something good and good for you, like milk, and spoil it and turn it into something bad. And that's exactly what happened there in verse 1. It says, now a man named Ananias, again, I'm repeating what we already read, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, and by the way, the word together, like this idea together with his wife, she totally knew what was going on. So if you're reading the story and you're like, that wasn't fair, she died and he did it. No, she knew what was going on. She was just as involved. She didn't physically do it, but she knew it. And that's just a whole other topic we could discuss ourselves later. But together with his wife, Sapphira also sold a piece of property. So they did a good thing. This idea of selling property, that was a good thing. But they weren't selling the property because there were needs, because Jesus had called them to do it, because there was an issue that they really wanted to help with, or they just felt like God says, this is something you need to do. They were doing this good thing so that they would look good, so that they would look impressive, so that people would go, wow, Ananias and Sapphira, yeah, close with the JC, all right. That's what they were doing. So they took this good thing and spoiled this admirable thing and spoiled it. So that was the first problem. The second problem is that their pride, then pride twists acceptable things. And when I say twist, I use this word. I like this. This is on purpose. Because how many times, I mean, the speed limit is 55. So 58 is okay. I almost made this much money, so I rounded up. And that's okay. Now, granted, there's certain times, but on your tax form, that's not one of those times. And we like to take things and like, you know, it's acceptable when we twist it and kind of turn things for our benefit. You know, and this is probably my biggest personal problem, struggle, whatever you want to call it, is that I am good at telling you the truth. And I will tell the truth. I'll just leave out important key facts that don't fit my version of the truth. And I don't mean that as I'm teaching, but, you know, if I'm in an argument or whatever with my wife or, you know, I like to, well, this, and this are all true. And I didn't say that, that. But twisting it a little bit, making it work for my favor. And so pride, the desire to look good, to want to be well-known, to be impressive, it takes things that are acceptable and good and normal, and it twists them. And that's what we see here in verse 2 then. Again, we already read this, but a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also stole a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. So he sold it, and let's say he sold it for $100. And instead, he kept back like 20. No, I'll do 25. That'll be easier math for me. He kept back 25. So that means remaining was 75. And that's correct. I just want you to know that math is accurate so far. So he sold it for $100, kept back $25. And his wife knew all about this. Of course we're going to keep back $25. And brought the rest of it and put it at the apostles' feet. Now we find out later with Sapphira that the whole intention here with Peter was to look impressive. We sold this property, and every penny of it is going to the church. Aren't we awesome? No, it's okay. No, please, it's not about me. And so they took this thing and they sold this field for $100, and again, these aren't the official biblical numbers, and kept 25 and gave 75 to the rest. And it could have been different. We don't even know. It could have been the other way around. But the point is, they kept back part of it. His wife knew about it. They held it on to themselves, brought the other 75 and said, here we are. We're just like Barnabas. We are so impressive. And then a little bit later, which we already read, but Peter kind of, you know, condemns Ananias for what he's doing. And he says to him, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? So Peter totally acknowledges, this was your field. And then he says, and after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? And the word disposal, you know, it means, it's a Greek word that means it's up to you. It's at your disposal. It's your decision. It's your freedom. It's your money. And so what Peter is saying here is that, look, if you sold this for 100 and said, we're keeping 25 and giving 75, it's totally legit. It's completely acceptable. There was nothing wrong with that. Peter's like, it's your money. We're not forcing you to do something that you don't have to do. God loves a cheerful giver. So he says, you know, you could. It was your money. It was at your disposal. And yet, they kept back part of the money. And the funny, interesting thing about the Greek word kept back actually means to embezzle. Like, this wasn't even an accident. Like, oh no, I left 25 at home. This was a decision with full knowledge to embezzle some money so that they would look impressive, so that they would look spiritual, so that people would say, wow, you serve on 7 ministry teams at MC3? Why, yes, I do. Haven't seen my family in 5 years. But I am so impressive. I had a conversation this weekend with someone that grew up as a child of a pastor, and it's sad hearing the godly things that pastor did, and then hearing his daughter talking about the life that she never had with her father and the issues that she has today because of that, and why I'm working really hard to make that not my story. But I mean, it's easy to look impressive. It's easy to look spiritual. It's easy to be a part of things, and our pride says, yeah, I like it when you tell me I'm good. But if that is the end, we're just wearing a mask. We're being fake. We're being hypocrites. And it's a problem. And obviously it was a problem for Ananias and Sapphira. And actually that was the last thing, is that their pride leads to awful things. Their pride led them to lie. It led them to swindle, to cheat, to be deceptive. And of course that's what Peter says. Then Peter says to Ananias, How is it that Satan has so filled your heart? And this word filled means to be controlled. It's a word we see later in Ephesians 5 when Paul says to this church at Ephesus, this church he plants, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't be controlled by alcohol. Don't let alcohol control you. Instead, be controlled by Jesus. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And here, Peter says to Ananias, you are being controlled by Satan. How is it that the devil has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? He lied about it. And that's what he goes on and says, we already read, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? Idiot. Why'd you do that? You didn't have to. But again, his pride says, I'm going to lie about this. I'm going to, it's just one little lie. I mean, people would be impressed. And I did give some of the money away, and we start twisting it. And we start looking impressive. And in fact, the truth gets pushed aside and leads to awful things. And he goes on and says, you haven't just lied to human beings, but to God. If that statement rings true across the board, and we lie to people, we're not just lying to people, we're lying to God. It's a big deal. So then he goes on a little bit later. Of course, we know that Ananias dies. The guys come and take him away. About 3 hours later, again, the story continues. His wife came in not knowing what had happened. She didn't realize what had happened to her husband. And Peter asks her directly. He gives her a chance. Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Straight up, direct lie because of her pride. Because she wanted to look so impressive. Because she wanted to look good. And again, this isn't even a look good for bad things. This is looking spiritually good. Like many people would look at this story and say, well, she did give 75 of the 100. She was doing a good thing. I mean, she was doing this for God. And how easy, again, we twist things and make them good things because we want to look impressive. We want to look spiritually impressive. And if you come to the worship experience and you raise your hands and be like, I'm worshiping. I'm worshiping. You look over like, can you see me? You know, like, if you're raising your hands because you're worshiping, then do it. But if you're just trying to look impressive, put your hands down. Because we can't be here just trying to be fake. We can't. It leads to all sorts of awful things. And the crazy thing is that the more our pride builds in this kind of spiritual arrogance, the spiritual hypocrisy, is the more we start to think, you know what, I don't really need that mercy and grace from Jesus because I've got it all on my own. And we might not say that word for word, but it comes out in our actions and our attitudes. And Jesus, the God from the beginning of the early church, who says, no, home, we don't play that. We are not allowing this to happen. So Ananias falls down dead. Sapphira falls down dead. And it says that at the end, a great fear spread throughout the church and everyone who heard this. God is for real about this. This isn't fooling around. This isn't like not a big deal. This is a big deal. And so that's why we see this happen with Ananias and Sapphira, because God is trying to make a point here. That fake doesn't work. We need to stop being fake. So pride, it spoils admirable things. Something that's good makes it and spoils it. It twists acceptable things. This, again, they could have sold the land, said we gave 75%, we kept 25, and Peter would have been cool. But they took it and twisted it and said, no, we want to look impressive. And then it leads to awful things. It led them to lie. And we need to be careful that our pride doesn't do this for us. That we don't take something good and we want to look impressive. And we want to look like we've got it all together. If you don't have your stuff together, it's okay. Because nobody here does. So I want you to do this. Interaction time. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you don't have your stuff together. And please use the word stuff. Look at the person next to you and say, you don't have your stuff together. All right. Now look at the other room. Make sure everybody says, you don't have your stuff together. Everybody says, because you don't. And stop trying to fake it. There's no need to fake it. Because we're all broken. We're all messed up. And we need each other. That's what we're going to talk about in September. What if church was more than what we've made it? And if we can realize that, you know what, we're all broken. And when you screw up, I go, yeah, me too. How can I help you? How can I lift you up? What can I do for you? Because we're all messed up. We don't have our stuff together, and we need to stop faking it. And we can't fake it when it comes to something so important as God and church and our spiritual life as a follower of Jesus. Like, you know, we can look impressive with our vehicle and our home and even our clothes and stuff, but man, and we shouldn't do that either. Be fake. Don't be fake. But when we start turning into a spiritual thing, we got some serious issues. We can't get caught up in that. So don't let our pride get in the way. So Ananias and Sapphira were ruined by a life of hypocrisy. Literally, I mean, boom, dead. Because they were being fake. Because of their pride. So if you don't remember how the story went, I've got a fun little video here that will kind of overview the whole thing that you can watch right now. So if you don't remember me or the story, there you have a better way of remembering it. I thought it was so cool. Just they knew what was going on. They wanted to look impressive, and they were fake. And it ruined their lives. It literally, I mean, again, it can't get more ruined than dead, I suppose. Well, maybe it could. But anyway, but they were ruined. And it was interesting. They were, did you see that here at the very beginning there? They were counted among the believers. I mean, these were Christ-following people. They weren't like outsiders coming in. These were people that were part of the church. And yet they choose to allow Satan to control them to be fake, to lead them into something that wasn't right. So how do we do this? How do we take off the mask? How do we stop being the hypocrite? How do we fight the fake? I want to share four things here that hopefully we can walk away with and say, okay, this is what I need to do because I don't want to be fake. We can't be willing to put up with it and be something that we're not. Be real. One of the core values, we have 10 core values as a church, sorry, and you can find them on our website, mc3church.org. But one of the values that we have as a church, and these are basically the guiding principles, they're kind of like the guardrails of what we do, and it kind of keep us focused. We have the C3 process, of course, which is how we do it, but these are the kind of, within that, how do we do these things? And one of them is authenticity. And it says this, we are accepted by God where we are. And that is so true. We are accepted by God where we are. Therefore, we value being real with each other about our failures, successes, and flaws. And let me just say this to you. You have been accepted, and I have been accepted where we are by God. How perfect, imperfect, ugly, stupid, foolish, whatever, God says, I love you completely, wholly, and I'm taking you where you are, and I'm not content with that, so my son is going to die in your place for your sins. And that's the story. That's the message of the cross. That's the message the church has to share about Jesus dying on our behalf, and all we need to do is believe. Here's our problem as the church. When we start thinking that we have to look, act, and be a certain way in here, the people outside say, I can't do that, so I guess I'm never going to be accepted by that Jesus. And we have to be so careful. And I think that's why God made such a big deal about Ananias and Sapphira. Because if people get the impression that in order to come to church, you need to look a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, smell a certain way, and be perfect like the rest of us are, they say, well, then I can't do that. And I probably could have you raise hands in here and say, how many people have had conversations about MC3 and they said, oh, I would never fit in a church? Because I know many of you have had conversations, oh, I would never fit in a church. I would never be accepted in a church. And I will just say this. Many of you sitting in this room were some of those people that said that, which is just awesome. Praise God. Because we are accepted. You are welcome. And so is everyone out there. And if they don't believe what you believe, they're still accepted by Jesus. If they don't act the right way, they're still accepted by Jesus. If they vote for the other party, they're still accepted by Jesus. And so we need to be real. We can't be fake because the world is looking at us. And if we're able to say, wow, you're messed up. I guess I can fit in there because so am I. And I know, I mean, I've talked to you guys too about other times. You've gone through hard times in life. You've gone through financial challenges. You've gone through death. You've gone through divorce. And I know that people have looked at you and said, wow, you're being real about this. And I'm amazed that you still keep your head up. I'm amazed that you can make it through this situation because you're being real. You're not being fake. You're not going, well, it's all wonderful. I'm so glad he died anyway. No, we're not. It hurts. It's sad. And we can be real about it. And then people see that and want that because Jesus is attractive, not you and not me. So we need to fight the fake. So what do? The first thing is that we need to recognize. We need to recognize something. We need to make a mental decision, a mental choice, a mental acknowledgement to say that pride will destroy you. You need to understand that from the beginning. Pride is going to destroy you. If you think that you're good enough, smart enough, strong enough, and doggone at people like you, your pride is still going to destroy you. And you have to recognize that. Because the rest of it doesn't matter. If you think you can do it on your own, then you don't need Jesus. And you don't need the church. And good luck. But we need to recognize that pride is going to destroy us. That we can't pretend to be something we're not and think that that's a good thing. In Proverbs, the writer says, pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. You thinking that you are awesome is the first step. Phase two is destruction. We saw that with Ananias and Sapphira. There's a story of another guy in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, who kept back some of the pillage, the treasure that they got from a battle. His name was Achan. And you can read that story. It's almost identical, actually, to the story of Ananias and Sapphira, in that he hid something and he was judged for it, and it led to his downfall. And frankly, his destruction, it wasn't just him. It led to the whole nation suffering a loss in a battle. And that's the other thing, too. The more you're arrogant, the more your pride, the more you're wearing your mask, maybe the people next to you or behind you or in front of you go, oh, they look pretty good. But I guarantee the people that share your last name see right through it. Your husband, your wife, your kids, they know the real you. Your parents. And so we have to give up this fake, this appearing good. And haughtiness before a fall. And honestly, I had to look up haughtiness. Haughtiness is that arrogance, that I'm better than everyone. I'm good. I'm awesome. I'm going to look impressive. I'm going to be someone that people want to be like. And if that is you, even if it's for a good thing, understand it's going to lead to destruction. And it might not just be you. It might also lead to the downfall of people around you. Because they see that and say, wow, okay, I don't know if I can do that. Or your kids see that. I mean, part of the story of MC3 is that there are people that are in this building right now that left church after they got out of high school or middle school or whatever. When they weren't forced to come anymore, they left because they were tired of the fake. And you need to realize that we need to not be fake as an example, as adults, as parents. Because I don't want that to be the story of our kids. Oh, yeah, they were just faking it. They looked good on Sunday, but I knew how they really were. Pride goes before destruction. Pride will destroy you. You need to recognize that. Be aware of that. You can't avoid it. You can't ignore it. It is true. Recognize it. The second thing is to fight the fake, is that you need to retreat. Retreat means to fall back, to get away, to not be in the light, to not be to be up front. When you retreat, you come back to somewhere and understand you need to retreat because God honors the secret. God honors what is done in secret. And again, this doesn't mean, well, let me read the passage here. In Matthew chapter 6, he's talking to his followers and he tells them, watch out, warning, danger. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. Now, that's what I'm getting at. The phrase here is, don't do good things so that other people see them and say, wow, you're impressive. He doesn't say, don't do good deeds. He doesn't say, don't do good deeds publicly. He says, don't do them publicly so that other people say, wow, you're impressive. That was Ananias and Sapphira's issue. What they did was a good thing. But they twisted it. They messed up. Don't do it publicly to be admired by others, Jesus says. For you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets, calling attention to their acts of charity. Look at me! I'm wonderful! You know, when the offering bucket comes by, as majestic as that bucket is, don't, you know, pull out your wallet. I don't have a wallet. Do I have a wallet? Oh, yeah. Don't pull out your wallet. I don't have anything to pull out. But don't pull out your my $100 bill. No. Like, give $100. Give $5 million. I don't care. It's your heart. Don't do it so that other people will be impressed. He says, don't do it. That's what the hypocrites did. The Pharisees were all about how important and impressive they looked to the public. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Make it so secret that they don't even know what's going on. Again, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving to someone. There's nothing wrong with giving to someone up front. Sometimes that's a really encouraging thing. Hey, I know you have a need, and I want you to know right now I'm going to help you with that need. That's cool. But at the same time, don't be like, hi, I'm going to help you. Aren't I more superior to you? Aren't I impressive? Like, don't do that. He says, make it so secret your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. When you give, make it something like, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. The point is, if you're doing it for the public, if you're doing it to be impressive, if you're doing it to be like a hypocrite, which you would never admit to, don't. Make it secret then. If that's really a struggle for you, if you struggle with what you put in the offering bucket, then give online ahead of time. And there's only two people that know who that is, and that's our treasurer and our bookkeeper. And I don't even think our treasurer finds out unless there's a real issue where the bookkeeper says, hey, you know, like, nobody knows. It's secret. Keep it that way. If that's an issue for you, if you struggle with helping other people and wanting to look impressive with their needs, give it to a friend and say, hey, can you make sure they get this? That's a good thing. Because it's not about what they think about you. It's about what God thinks about you. And then Jesus goes on. And he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see. Now again, does that mean Kirk was in sin because he prayed up here? No. If Kirk was praying from his heart, it doesn't even matter what you think, because it's about him and God. But if I get up here to sound impressive and suddenly break into King James when I pray, because Jesus is more impressive, and everyone's more impressive if I can say thee and thy to God, then I'm not doing it for the right reasons. So there's nothing wrong with praying in public. You're allowed to pray in your prime group. But, and I will say this too. Sometimes we have, like in a prime group setting, an open time to pray. And you're like, oh, I hope I say the right things. I hope I do it the right way. Yeah. Don't worry about that. You're talking to God. And I guarantee that if you're worried about saying the right thing and you just pray from your heart, you'll be way more encouraging than trying to say the right things in your prayer. Some of the most beautiful prayers I have, I mean, our kids, you probably heard your kids pray. Things like, those are some of the most beautiful prayers. People that are like, hey, I started following you last week, Jesus. I'm not sure what to do here, but you're pretty cool. That's powerful. That's from the heart. Like, don't pray because you want to be impressive. Don't do it in public. I tell you, that is all the reward they'll ever get. So if people are like, your prayers are amazing. You're my favorite prayer ever. And if you're like, yeah, I know. Like, that's it. Enjoy it, because that's all you're going to get, because God isn't going to say that. And again, there's nothing wrong with someone saying, you know, I love when you pray because you're praying from the heart. Cool. So it's a weird spot, but if your heart is doing it for the crowd, for the praise, then you're doing it the wrong way. He says, instead, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So you need to do that. Retreat. Get away. If you find that you're doing things to look impressive, you're giving, you're praying, your spiritual acts of worship, you find that in the worship experience, you were kind of concerned, what are people thinking about me? Do I sound impressive? Am I doing the harmony right? Then maybe sit in the back. In the corner so no one does see you. If that's a struggle that you have, because it's not about looking impressive or being impressive. It's about worshiping from the heart and doing that from the heart. So, recognize, retreat. The third thing you need to do is refocus. And we talked about this passage actually at the beginning of the series, back when we looked at Samuel and how he said the things he needed to say. He was, what was the phrase we used? He was outspoken by a life of devotion. that he said some things, some hard things to the people of Israel because of his connection to God, because he was following God. And he realized it was more important to please God than to please people. And so sometimes we need to refocus. And this kind of goes back to what I was just saying a few minutes ago. You know, are you trying to please people? Or are you trying to please God? Are you trying to look impressive to people? Or are you trying to look impressive to God? Because pleasing people is not pleasing God. And that's what Galatians 1:10 says. And again, we looked at this back at July 3rd, I believe it was. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, a church that he planted there as well. He says, Am I now trying to win? By the way, I should give you the background here. The people were saying, Paul, you're not doing it right. This isn't the way you're supposed to do it. In our church, this is how we do it. And this is the way we act, and this is the way we look. And Paul says to them, the church that he planted, by the way, and he says to them, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's like, I don't care what you think about how you think it's supposed to be. Because I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please God. And that comes down to everything. We're not trying to impress people. We're not trying to win the approval of people. We're not trying to make people say, oh, well, that was a good thing. We got our survey results last week. I already had a couple of counseling sessions. One was in the mirror with myself because 99% were good. And then there was that one negative. I'm like, oh. And then I have to realize, and I've had those counseling sessions with other people too. Like, oh. But you know what? We're not trying to please people. The survey was to say, are we staying true to what God has called us as a church? And that's who we are trying to please. And so if you don't like the way I do something, I'm okay with that. And if you say, you know what, that really bothers me, that it gets in the way of worship because of the lights or the music, then I say, go somewhere else where you can worship. Because we're not going to change to please you. I mean, we're not perfect. We're going to adjust and tweak things, but we're pleasing God. That's what I was saying. What is God calling us to do? And does that sound mean? You telling people to leave church? No, I'm telling people to worship where you can worship from your heart, where you don't have to worry about pleasing people, where you can worry about pleasing God. So, refocus. Maybe we need to change our focus. So recognize, retreat, refocus, and then the fourth thing we need to do is reflect. Is reflect, and this is that God knows your heart. Take time to look inside. Where are you? Why are you doing this? Why are you about to do that thing? Why are you about to say that whatever? Why are you about to write that post? We got to look at our hearts. We got to reflect and say, where am I? Where is my heart? And I know that, you know, and this might bother some of you, and I do this or don't do this because it's my... First of all, I don't like getting into all the Facebook drama and the dialogue, especially if someone says something that I wouldn't agree with. I just let it go. You know what? That's okay. Because there's no reason. There's probably not much that I can gain from fighting you online anyway, or fighting someone else online. But a lot of times there are some really cool things that are being said by you. Some cool things that God is doing in your life. Some cool things that you are doing for other people. And I don't want to come in there and be like, hi, and I'm your pastor. Aren't I good? Because you're in my church? Like, I love what's going on. I love seeing what God's doing. And I'd love, honestly, I'd love to come on and be like, yeah, that's awesome. Keep it going. MC3 rocks. But I have to be careful, personally, this is my personal issue, that I'm not doing that so people are like, yeah. And you're the pastor of that church, aren't you? Wow, you rock too. God loves you, doesn't he? Well, yeah, he does, because he loves everyone, but he loves you a little more. You know, and so that's like, that, again, my personal issue is I need to check my heart. Am I doing this so that people are like impressed with me? Or so that people are impressed with Jesus? And this is what Psalm 19 is. I love this verse, and I pray this verse often before I teach. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, may this here, the stuff you can't see, the stuff that you can't see, be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. And that needs to be the issue. I need to walk out of this room. I need to go home. And when I sit on the couch in the afternoon exhausted, how do I judge, how do I evaluate the morning? Oh, only three people said good job. Or if I have one person says, you know what, you changed my life today. God used you to change my life. That's a little different. Or if nobody says anything, I need to look and say, okay, am I doing it for what you say? Or am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I saying what God has called me to say? And you need to evaluate your life. You need to reflect on everything you do and say and make this your prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. May the things I say, may the things I think, may everything going on in here please you. Because I'm not doing it to please the others. And we can't do it to please others, because then our pride starts to work its way in there. And then we start to look impressive. And then suddenly, the more impressive we look, the less impressive Jesus does. And that was the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. They were ruined by a life of hypocrisy. Their life was destroyed because they were more interested in looking impressive and looking the part, not reflecting on their own lives, not looking at their focus, but in saying, how can we look impressive to other people? And it ruined their life. We can't allow it to ruin ours. We can't allow it on just so many levels. You, it's going to be a problem. Your family, it's going to be a problem. The church, it's going to be a problem. We have to make sure that we're just being real. And real isn't pretty. Real smells not very nice. Real looks a little gory and bloody and dirty. But real also screams out about how incredible Jesus is. Because he even picked up that dirty, ugly, smelly person and made something out of them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that is the story that we share. That is the story that we live, and we know it deep inside. We know that we've got nothing to offer you. So help us to live that on the outside. Not giving up, not giving in to sin, but just being real and trying to live a life that is interested in pleasing you, God, and not in pleasing others. And so that we can truly say, Father, may the words of our heart, or the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. We're interested in pleasing you. And may that be the story of each person here, of each family here, of this church, that MC3 will be known for not being pretty, nice, and slick, but being known for people that are in desperate need of Jesus. And that our story screams you, not ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.